Oh, praise the one who raised our lives. Amen. I love this whole idea of through Christ, us who would be dead in our sin and our transgressions, we are made anew. Wow. I think I counted 5 amens and all rights on that one. I'm keeping a tally. I have a note up here. If you say amen, you get brownie points. You get no prizes. But we will call you out on the podcast later on this week. Shannon Hiles is somewhere in here. He's going to help me with something. I want to do something up here. Shannon, I summon you. There he is. Is it all right if you participate with me for a little bit here this morning? I'm going to start that all over again. Is it okay if you participate with me during this message this morning? All right, here we go. Shannon's going to take a picture. So I just need 20 volunteers. Just somebody say, Steve, I will volunteer. Just, you don't have to get up. Just, okay, stand. Yeah, stand. I need just a few more to stand. Yeah. Yeah, stand. Stand up. Just a few more. Okay, good. Great. Man, now you guys, you're getting into it now. I just have to stand. Oh, my. Yes. Yeah, Karen, go ahead. Just a couple smattering. There we go. Praise the Lord. Okay, back there. Okay, I think that's good. Everybody else stay seated. Shannon, go ahead and get a... I'm going to use this at the very end of my message here, okay? So by those sitting and standing, it doesn't matter. You are a part of the message this morning. Hallelujah. Wow. All right. Shannon, you got that? Okay, now, hold on, Shannon. Everybody stand up this morning. See, you're thinking, man, I just got through this. No, everybody stand up. Shannon's going to take one more, and I will explain at the end what this means and how we are going to use it. Shannon, you got it? Okay. Okay. All right. Now you can be seated. This will make no sense until the very, very end, I promise you. I'm so excited to be able to share with you this morning. There's something that me and my family started doing a couple years ago that has become really, really addictive. I know when I get up here and I speak to you, I know there's some things that cross your mind. One of those is, he looks like a gardener. He sounds like a gardener. He's dressed like a gardener. He carries himself like he has a green thumb. I know. I'm just going to throw that out there. That's the big elephant in the room. Let's get that out there. Yes, I like to do a garden. So yes, you are correct. I am a genius, all these other things too, but I know that's the first one that crosses your mind. It's something that we started, and I was going to show a picture of my garden, but compared to a lot of, or how many does a garden you raise some kind of, okay, if I showed you the picture of mine, it would be the most comical thing that you would ever see in your entire life. But I love to do it, okay? So we have a couple rows in the back of our house where at certain times, you know, or certain years, we plant certain things. And so this year we have tomatoes because my wife loves them and I don't like them. So happy wife, happy life. So we plant a bunch of tomatoes, and then I plant hot peppers. Because we know if the end of the world was going to happen, tomatoes and hot peppers would be all that you would ever need to survive. Okay? So every year, this is the most exciting thing. I absolutely love every single part of it. We get our plants, we get ready, I go back there and I hand till. I don't use a machine. I do it by hand. You know. So I hand till it, I get everything ready, and then I get my plants out. And I mean, it's like a kid in the candy store. I have an infinite smile on my face as I take the tomato plant. You know, if you're in my backyard, you'd think probably it's the most funniest thing that you've ever seen. But it's so exciting. I love it. It's amazing. And so we're just sitting there planting, and like the whole time, or I'm thinking, God, why is this so exciting? Why is this just one of the funnest things I could ever do? And something hit me this year, and that is, we love to watch things grow. Right? See, because the fun part is planting, but the even more fun part is to go out every day and to see what's new, to see what's there. You know, what's coming up today? What can I take off the plant today? What tomato can I get today? It's just fun. And we love it. We always go out there every day and check, if, you know, or is there something? Because why? Because we love to watch things grow. And you know what? It's the same thing for the church. I want you to know that. It's the exact same thing. People love to watch things grow. What happens when a church in a community is on fire? People are pouring into the doors. Man, it's, you know, it seems like everybody wants to go to that one place that's on fire, that's growing, because we love to watch things grow. And so I'm asking God, God, why is this so powerful? And he made me realize something else even more powerful, and something that I've realized in this. Healthy things grow. Healthy things. And ever since that moment this year, I've had this going on in my mind over and over and over. And that is, healthy things grow. Which means, if we're not growing, and I won't even conclude that sentence, but I think you know where I'm going. If we're not growing, then we're not healthy. And I'm going to get into what this means. But Paul paints an unbelievable picture in Ephesians 4. And that's where we're going to be today. If you have a Bible, I'm going to show it up on the screen. If you didn't bring a Bible, don't worry. You can still read the Word of God with us. And just, Ken, do your best to follow along with me here, all right? I want to read Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16 here. So follow along. If you're taking notes and you just want to read it on screen, that's great. I'm going to start into this here. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, it says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Going to verse 14. "Then," everybody say then, "then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." That's a mouthful, isn't it? I want to read again verse 15 and 16 here. And this is the part that we really, really, really need to grab a hold of this morning. "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Can we take a moment and pray this morning? Father God, we are here in the same boat, all of us right now in this room, that God, we need to hear from you. We need your truth in this room. God, I pray in Jesus' name right now, if there is an obstruction, God, if there is an obstacle, God, if there is a hindrance right now from us understanding your word, from us being obedient to the Holy Spirit, that right now, in Jesus' name, you throw all those aside right now. God, speak to us. Make us alive with your word this morning. Prepare every heart, we pray. Change us through this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is a powerful image, isn't it? Yes, it's an unbelievable image. See, what's amazing about this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, is in prison when he is or when he is writing this letter. And this letter is a little bit different from every other thing. So this is a letter written to the church in Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey. And so this letter is a little bit different. See, Paul is not addressing a specific church controversy in this letter. He's not addressing a leadership issue. He's addressing this and that. He is writing to his church and he's saying, I want you to move forward. I want you to change. I want you to be transformed. I want you to not be the same. Each and every day, I want you to commit yourself to change. And so he paints this amazing picture of what a healthy church looks like. And this is the image that he uses. He uses this image of the church as a living organism with Christ as the head. And why? Because we are a church that is supposed to be alive. Continually alive. And so this isn't the only time in Scripture where Paul uses this imagery. We can go to 1 Corinthians 12, 11 through 30, and Paul says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. The same image, isn't it? Romans 12, 5, the writer says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And in Colossians 2, 19, Paul is talking about someone who has become lost, and he states this, very similar, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments, grows as God causes it to grow. See, this is a predominant image in the New Testament that the church is a living organism. It's something that is moving forward. And so we have to understand the importance of growth this morning. We have to understand it. We have an equally valid, an equally important part of this church. Equally. And we're going to get into what that means. But guess what? We are all supposed to grow. And so we're going to take a moment this morning and kind of look into this at a few things. Because if we are to be growing, we have to submit our lives to it. And so here's just a few things this morning. There's something that we need to understand from this verse. And the first thing is that growth is expected. Growth is expected. Okay? There's a part of me that wants to say, well, God just desires all of us to grow. But if I say it that way, that means we have an option. That means we have an out. But what you don't see in this scripture is you don't see Paul saying, would you all please, when you feel like it, grow for me? We don't see Paul saying, okay, when you have a good day, can you grow? We don't see Paul saying, when all the conditions in your right are or in your life are right, can you grow? We see Paul saying that we are to grow up. We are. There's no, okay, it's optional, you know, or when you get home from work, if you can, just grow up a little bit. Please, I beg of you. No. Paul says we are to grow up. We are. So growth is expected. It's an expected thing. The word for growth here is to mean increase. So I can just stop here right now and ask you this question in a very personal way. Spiritually, in your life, are things increasing every single day? And we just stop the message right here. Because that's Paul. That's what Paul is saying here. We are to grow up into Him who is the Christ, the head. We all are. And you can see how important this is here. Let's get into a couple of these scriptures. Growth is expected because God has equipped us to do that. God equips us to grow. Look at verse 11. And he gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, he gave the evangelists, he gave the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Everybody say equip. This word here means to supply with the necessary items for a particular purpose. See, God just didn't say, I desire for you guys to grow, so in some form or fashion, grow. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I desire for you to grow, so you figure it out. I'm not going to give you anything. No, this is what God says. I expect you to grow, so I'm going to give you exactly what you need. I'm going to give you apostles. I'm going to give you teachers, pastors, evangelists, prophets. I'm going to give you these things to equip you, to put into your life the necessary things that you need so that you can grow into him who is the Christ. He's equipping us. It's that important that God says, I'm going to equip you to do this. And not just that, God has enabled us to grow. Okay, so in Colossians 2:19, I mentioned that. Hold on to this one phrase. It says, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Enable means to give the authority to do something. God enables us to grow. Here's where we have to understand this morning. God is the one that makes it possible for you to move forward. And let's look at it this way. Growth is an opportunity given to us through the divine authority of God. So when we say, I'm done, I've done this for a while, I'm ready just to sit, I'm ready to just receive, right? I've done my time, I've paid my penance, I've paid my dues in Christianity. No, think about growth this way. God said you are to grow, and he has enabled you. He has made it possible for us. He has made it possible for Steve Terry to go from a wretch to a saint, not by anything that I've ever done, because he said growth is possible. Growth is possible. You can change. You can move forward. You can become what God has created you to be. Why? Because he has equipped you for it, and he has enabled you. He has said, my creation, I have given you my authority to change. All of it. Man, it's quiet. God's the one to make it possible. And here's one spot that we need to land together here this morning as a church, and that is God won't expect something from us without providing for us a way to get there. God will not expect something from us without providing a way for us to get there. So if he equips us and he enables us, how important is for us just to say, do it? But there's something else too. So growth is expected, but here's something important that we have to realize this morning, and that is growth is for every single one of us here in this room. Growth is for all of us. Verse 16 says, from him, the whole body. Everybody say whole body. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Here's what we have to understand. It is the whole body that is expected by God to move forward. The whole thing. There is not a segment of believers that is supposed to grow and a segment that's supposed to stay the same. There's not. It's not just, hey, it's the pastoral staff's expectation to grow. It's our expectation just to get. No. See, God gave Pastor Bill to us to equip us, not to do it for us. It's not our job as Christians to live out our faith vicariously through somebody that is moving forward. It's on us. Just so you know, you're sitting here this morning, and you might believe and you might not believe, but I want you to know that growth is for you. It's expected of you. So what are you doing with what you've been given? God has equipped you, and he has enabled you to move forward, to become something that you can never even dream that you are created to do. And it's right there. And he says, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. I've given you everything. Now, what are you doing with that? Well, God, I'm fine. No, we are expected to grow. All of us. Everybody say all. So that means if I say, raise your hand if you're expected to grow today. Everybody's going to say, boom. I am. So there's this visual that we have to understand. The whole body, the church, and every single part of it are meant to grow. See, when I do my garden, it makes no sense for me to have all these tools, right? I have a spade, and I have a trowel, and I have all these things that help me make my magnificent and glorious garden. What's the point if I had all those things just sitting to the side and I never ever use them? And what's the point if I don't use those things to make sure that my plants and my garden and all these things is at the most perfect position that it can be for growth? The same thing is true for every single person in here. God has empowered you and enabled for all of us to be in the best position that we can possibly be to become exactly like him. We are expected to grow. And there's another image here. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, let me just read this because it's going to point us to a different spot. Or I'm going to read it. 1 Corinthians 12:12, Paul's letter to the church in Corinth says, "The body is a unit, though it is made of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. So we, the church, we are many, but we form one." And it continues on. It says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of it. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. Each of us have an equally important part to play in this whole thing." See, it's not good for me to say that I can't do what Michael does, so I'm just going to sit down. I can't do what Gene does, so I'm not going to try. No, because guess what? Whether you stand, whether you rise up, whether you commit yourself to become like Christ, it doesn't matter. Regardless, you are a part of the body. Every single one of us. We are all a part of the same thing. It doesn't matter if you're the worship leader, the head usher, the lead director of the information desk. We all have a part to play based on how God has created us to be. And just because we sit down or stand up, it doesn't matter. We are all a part of the same thing. And this is the other thing that we have to understand about this. We have equal ownership of this place. I know that we really don't want to hear that, do we? But we have equal ownership, not of the building, but of the church in Bedford, Indiana. Which means whatever part I play is the same as your part. So think of the body or the body illustration here. The eye can only do what the eye can do, right? It's uniquely designed and created to see. The ear can only do what the ear can do. It's uniquely designed and created to receive audible information. And we can go on. Or we can do a whole anatomy class in here and go through all the parts of the body. Our body is uniquely designed and created to do certain things. And together, when it's together, that's when it's healthy. It doesn't matter how you are sitting in this room. Let me just give you something powerful. God has uniquely designed and created you to do the perfect thing in this church. It will never require you to be perfect. It will require you to be available. To be completely and utterly available to the work of the Holy Spirit. Because here is what this means. This is what this passage means we are many, but we form one. We are many, but we form one. Which means we all have an equal part to play in this amazing work of God. We have equal ownership, but who is extremely available? The Holy Spirit can move in every single one of us beyond our wildest dreams. So think about that. God has created you. And the same thing is, you might be in here with the lowest self-esteem that you could possibly have in your life. Well, guess what? When God created you, He didn't say, that's not as good as every other part. God created you and said, that's good. And when He put this whole thing together, it is by design. I am weak in areas that I will struggle with no matter how hard I try. Michael, more likely, is going to be strong in the areas I am weak, and just go through this whole place. You are uniquely designed and created to fit in a certain way, to do a certain work in this church. And guess what? The person next to you is probably going to have the strength where you are weak. And when we are by ourselves, yes, we can do some things. When the church rises up and becomes together and we form, you know, together, uniquely designed and created and fit together by every supporting ligament and joint and all those things, we work properly. We do what we are supposed to do. Growth is for every single one of us here in this room. R.C. Sproul describes it this way. He says, every person in the body of Christ has a significant task to perform. No one is insignificant. No one is unimportant. There's no such thing as a misfit in the body of Christ, because Christ Himself, the head of the body, is the one who makes sure that we fit all together. What Paul is trying to get through is that we all have an equal part in this thing. And there's another thing that we have to realize here this morning. And this is a tough one, and that is real growth has real results. See, we can all in here together say, okay, I'm growing. You know, I mean, I am. Actually, I'm not. I've been 5'6 for a long time, still short. But spiritually, we can all say, yeah, I'm growing. I go to church every week. Right? I'm growing because I showed up last Wednesday night. I'm growing. Well, here is what Paul is saying here. Real growth has real results. There's things that we can see. He puts it this way in verse 15. He says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into who? We will in all things. We will in all things grow into. I'm just going to repeat this 10,000 times until we all say it together. We will in all things grow up into. Four more times? No. We'll stop there. See, there's a common goal for each and every, one of us here. And Paul, he explains it, or another letter to the church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, this is, or another way that Paul says it. He says, and we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We all, every day, should be changed into Christ. Do we understand that? My goal is to not become like you, although that'd be great. My goal is every day I'm supposed to be in God's hands, becoming like Jesus Christ to this world. Every day you are expected to grow into the image of the Son of God. Every day. That's our resolve. And it says, or in the scripture, it says, we are no longer supposed to be a children in verse 14. We are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. We are no longer supposed to be children. Can I Put it this way, we are no longer supposed to be immature pew sitters. We are no longer. This says, because of this growth process, our understanding of the word is not like a child. We fully understand what is at stake. We fully understand who Christ is. And beyond that, it's beyond just fully understanding it. We are fully available and committed to it. We can't be children anymore. We have to be alive and growing and moving forward. Let's look at it a different way here. In Matthew 7, I'm just going to read it for you. It's Matthew 7, verses 15 and 16. Jesus talks about the results of growth this way. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit." See, if you read through the scripture, you understand that an authentic follower of Christ, there are results that people just naturally see. If you are following Christ, people are going to know it. By your what? By your fruit. By the things that your relationship with God is producing out in the open. Our spiritual growth has results. Here's two questions here this morning. If we are truly growing into Him who is the head, then what are those results going to look like? If we are really becoming like Christ every day, what are people going to see? You know, there's that scripture in John that says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend." If we are becoming like Christ, how does our loving the world change? Or at least the people in the world. But there's a flip side to this question. If we aren't healthy, we aren't growing, what kind of results are people going to see? Can I give you the simple truth? You only produce what you are. You only produce what you are. How you love the world, how you interact with this world. Or you want to know how I can tell my tomato plant is growing? It's really simple, if it has tomatoes. I've never once planted a pepper plant and got an apple. I mean, it'd be cool. It'd be a miracle of God. I give Him all credit, but I've never once went to a pepper and like, "Oh man, there's a pink lady apple on there. How delicious." Never once. No, I know a tomato plant is doing what it's supposed to be, and I've done or what I need to do when there are actually fruit that can be seen in what is growing. The same thing is for all of us in here. How do we know that we are growing? How do we know that we are moving forward? When the world looks at us, it doesn't see us. When the world looks at us and see Jesus Christ, that's when we know we are moving forward. Man. There's something else here too. Real results require real commitment. Verse 13 in Ephesians 4 says, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Let me explain this in a little bit or a different way. We continue on this process of growth until we arrive at the fullness of unity, until we arrive at the fullness of knowing Jesus, until we arrive at the fullness of maturity, until we arrive at the fullness of who He is. What kind of resolve, what kind of commitment requires us to achieve and attain those things? And now throw this in there. Paul says, Apostle Paul said, "I never attained it." So does that mean if we know that we're never going to do it, that we never try? No, it means we commit to our last breath to be like God, to be like Jesus, to do what we have been designed and created to do. That's the real commitment here. So what's the big idea? So imagine this. Paul is sitting in this prison. He's writing this letter to these people that he cannot reach and touch at that moment. And he decides to give them a powerful image so that he knows right there that these people are going to know what growth is. These people are going to know what healthy church looks like. So he gives them this amazing visual. What's the whole point? Well, here it is. Each of us impacts the whole. Each of us. Each and every single person sitting in this church this morning, you have an impact on the church. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow. Listen to this. Our growth individually affects the growth of the church. Let me throw another one at you here. And you'll love this one just as much as the last one, I promise you that. Our health, spiritually, impacts the health of the church corporately. The church is only the church when each of us understand that our part is equal and just as important. What happens when one of us decides to sit out? Well, Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, Paul writes, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Are those pictures ready up there, Ken? Oops. Okay. Can't lose my place here. This first picture here, or can you see the smattering of people just kind of standing there? Think about this, that those people standing represent the people who have decided to grow. There's 10 of 15, there's a little bit there. Let me ask you this question. What impact can the body of Christ have when it looks like that here in this world? When only a few. Show the next one. Can you see it? What's the impact or in this world when we all decide to stand and change? What's the impact? This is the church that takes the gospel everywhere, that shines a light, that turns the city upside down. This is the church. You know what? In this picture is representative of all different kinds of ages. People who are newly saved, people who have been saved for 30, 40, 50 years. It's representative of people who are 5, who are 15, who are 25, 35, 45. It's representative of tons of different ages. Guess what? It doesn't matter. When we all decide to arise and be lifted up and stand up and say, we together can be the church. We together are the church, and it requires me to say, I'm going to grow. It requires you to say, I'm going to do my part. Because why? That is when the church moves forward. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one. So here's a few questions that we need to think about this morning. If we impact the whole, then where are we at? See, can I share this with you this morning? We aren't fooling anybody God knows where we are at. It says in Hebrews 4:13, it says, everything is laid bare and out in front of God. God knows. Can I tell you this morning, the world knows where we are at. John 13:35 says, and they will know who we are by how we love. For us to love like Christ, who do we have to become like? The world can tell who we believe by how we love. I'm going to be honest with you. You know this morning exactly where you're at. Why? Well, Luke, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You produce what you are. So if we are going to be a healthy church here this morning, what part do we play in that? We are absolutely blessed to have a man of God that prepares the word like he does every week. Tell you what, the preaching's phenomenal. The teaching's phenomenal. So what's our excuse? You know, it's not the pastoral staff or, you know, to grow for us. It's on me. It's on all of us to say we are growing together. I'm going to have Larry come up this morning. I just want you guys to stand. I want to ask you a few questions here. Paul lays it out, and here is the thing. Healthy things grow. So if we aren't growing, then are we really healthy? If the parts of the church, if they're not growing, is the church really where it's supposed to be?